Father, thank you for a time like this. Thank you for utterance, for revelation, dear. Even as we hear your word, our hearts and our minds are receptive to your word, to walk in the light of your word, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So, we started off, that was last time, on the book of Colossians. And we had, this is the third section. Let's open the Bibles to 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 15. Just a look again at some things we said, and we'll press into some other things. Verses 15. You see, this is 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do other scriptures unto their own destruction." Hallelujah. So, Peter, in writing, commended Paul's writing. He calls it scriptures. He calls Paul's writing scriptures. Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Mm. He calls it scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And look at what he said. Those who rest with Paul's scriptures, right? They don't just rest with Paul's scriptures alone. They say, as they do others' writings. So, Peter isn't coming against Paul, or is not warning people against Paul. Rather, what Peter is doing is that Peter is commending Paul, and he's saying those who rest against Paul's scriptures are not just doing it to Paul's scriptures alone, but they do it to scriptures as a whole. Hallelujah. Now, we saw something last time. We said Peter qualified Paul's understanding or Paul's writing with the phrase wisdom, according to the wisdom, Sophia, wisdom. Now, we said that word wisdom is used to show that one has a full and accurate understanding of the message of scriptures, right? We saw that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Paul to Timothy, Paul will say, "Former child, you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." Sophism, Sophia, where you have the word Sophia. So it's used to show that one has a full grasp of the message of scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Peter says, according to the wisdom given him, Peter is saying Paul's letter is according to scriptures. You see that? It passed the test of scriptures. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So we ask the question, what is then the message of scriptures? Right? Did we say that? What is the message of scriptures? Let's just run over that a bit. We said the message of scriptures is the oracles of God and his tax in all the earth. We saw that. The oracles of God, his tax in all the earth. I would say it's salvation. And what is that tax in all the earth? That is salvation and our walk in it. Salvation and our walk in salvation. Hallelujah. We said salvation produces a work. Produces a work. A work for us, which we call conduct. So let's see. So we say in salvation we have conduct. Right? Conduct doesn't bring us to salvation, but in salvation we have conduct. So what is conduct? What is salvation? Look at in Galatians 3, Paul to the church of Galatians. He says in verses 3, he says, "Are you so foolish? Say, haven't begun in the spirit." Now he's talking about salvation now. He says, in salvation, what has happened is that you began in the spirit. Amen. To begin in the spirit. So salvation is to begin in the spirit.
So therefore, the walk in salvation is the walk in the Spirit. So if he has said to them here, haven't begun in the Spirit, that is salvation, right? He goes to chapter 5, quickly, Galatians 5, verses 18. Let's see what he says. Verses 16. It says, this I say, walk in the Spirit. This is that verse 16. Walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when it says walk in the Spirit, will that be walking salvation? Will that be walking salvation?
Yes, sir.
That will be your conduct to walk in salvation. Walk in the Spirit. It's very vital. Hallelujah. So the conduct will be what? The walk in the Spirit. So salvation there, where it says salvation will be spiritual, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. What are you following me?
Yes, sir.
To begin in the Spirit. Walking salvation will be walking the Spirit. So in Matthew 22:36, when they asked him, Master, or they asked him, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Now, first of all, I told you, when you hear the word commandment, of which is where you have the word 10 commandments from, he's not talking about laws, right?
Yes,
I said that to you. That is the doctrine. So you're asking, what is the greatest doctrine of scripture? Did you see that? Of the law. The law is nomos, teaching, message. So you can ask, what's the greatest doctrine of Moses's? Or you ask, what is the doctrine of Moses' laws, of Moses' teaching? And Jesus said in verse 37, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Love the Lord thy God, which is faith in the Lord. Do you see that? Faith in the Lord, salvation, right? Faith produces salvation, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, faith in the Lord, is that to begin in the Spirit? Yes. He calls it the first and the great commandment, proton. That's the proton, right? First proton. And the second, that which proceeds from the first, right? Is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. To walk in. You see that? Conduct. So that means the conduct will come from. The conduct will come from the Spirit. We said all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the proton produces love, which deals with our conduct. So you cannot say conduct isn't important as a believer. You can't say conduct is not necessary. No. No, that would be very careless of a believer to say that. To say conduct is not necessary. Conduct is very vital. Amen. Conduct is vital. But conduct will proceed from our nature. Conduct will proceed from our nature. Okay, follow me. Proceed from our nature.
You know, these guys are trying to come here. Is it enough to pray with people? Just because we didn't have had anything to do.
Okay.
No. Plan to be standards.
Okay. Conduct will flow from our nature. Right? Hallelujah. No, I've heard people say conduct is not important. Conduct is. And it will flow from our nature. We're going to look at that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and that conduct is not morals. That's where it's different. You know, morals, when you say, I don't love because it's morals. Right? I don't love my neighbor because it's my, no, it's my nature. That those are two different things. It's my nature to love. Who are following me? It's different from Mars. It's my nature to love. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So we saw again that we are accountable to work to towards our conduct. Paul says that in Acts 20:32. He said, "I commend you." That word is to give one accountable to the Lord and to the word of His grace. Right? Right? To the word of His grace. So which is able to build you up. Now, able to build you up is not something that will build you up or that will give you an inheritance. So, it's talking about what we have. What builds us up. Right? that conduct. Hallelujah. That we are accountable. So we say we are accountable to salvation. That's what we said. We are accountable to salvation. And here it deals with conduct. Hallelujah. So we said all that. Therefore, added or we also asked. We'll run through a few things this morning. I mean quickly. We also asked. Why are letters written? We asked that. Why are letters written? But before we answer that again, we said in answering that, remember we said no writer of the New Testament books wrote for you to neglect the 39 books. We said of that. No writer of the New Testament wrote for you to neglect the 39 books. They wrote that you read the 39 books together with their writing. You read everything together. Hallelujah. So that means their writing will point you back to the 39 books. Their writing will point you back to the 39 books. Hallelujah. So you therefore will understand their writing more when you read it together with the 39 books. You have to read their writings together with the 39 books because that is where its context is from. The context of their writing will be the 39 books. So, going to why they are written, we gave five reasons why letters are written. Right? He said, one, to affirm the faith of believers. To answer questions. To establish and confirm believers. I'll say it again. To affirm the faith of believers. Hallelujah. Affirm the faith of believers. To answer questions. 1 Corinthians 7. To establish and confirm believers. To deal with crisis, conflict, and misconduct. To see how they do. Right? To see how they do. Hallelujah. To see how they do. So, a quick one. Something we'll have to see today before we get into Colossae. What we'll have to see today before we get into Colossae is when letters are written, they aren't written in chapters and verses. Amen. They are not written in chapters and verses, no. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I said that to Ross. They are rather, you know, when Paul was to write, he wasn't writing Colossians chapter 1. No. They wrote in paragraphs, right? So they were writing paragraphs. Chapters and verses just started a few hundred years ago. I've showed us that. Started a few hundred years ago. Hallelujah. So when they wrote, they will situate their writings in paragraphs. So they will write in paragraphs. Write in paragraphs. Hallelujah. So verses and chapters will be interpretation. Verses and chapters will be interpretation. It's someone's interpretation. So in our study, we are going to situate our study in paragraphs, and then the verses we might have to rework the verses along the paragraph. You see that? We'll have to rework the verses around the paragraph. What are they discussing about? Rework it around the paragraph. Hallelujah. Amen. So instead of reading in chapters, we might just rework it. Still reading the verses and chapters, but look for how we rework the verses well to suit paragraphing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So we'll say, what was the style of writing? They'll write the address quickly. They'll have the addresses, which is the writer here. Many times you find I, Paul. That is the address, right? The sender. He writes his address. To whom is writing to the church at Colossae. So you find the address of the sender, address of the receiver, right? Then you have introduction, pre-introduction. You have the introduction, pre-introduction, context, the content, the summary of the content, and then closing remarks. You now find their signature, especially when it comes to Paul. You find Paul's signature. Amen. Find signatures. Hallelujah. So let's see a bit of a summary of some of Paul's writing. In Paul's writings,
in Paul's writings many times, his introduction usually comes with prayer. So he writes his introduction as prayer, right? And what is the prayer for? The prayer is towards what he's writing about. When you pick up Paul's writing,
the prayer is towards what he's writing about or what he's about to tell him. In 1 Corinthians, for example, chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, look at 1 verse 3. Let's see this. It says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf." Did you see how he opens, his introduction? Right? Right? So something I missed out when I actually told us as regards how their writing style is before you have the introduction, you have the greetings. I skipped that, the greetings. So he said, "Grace unto you, peace of my God." He said, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in knowledge." Did you see that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So he's about to write to them about how they was about to deal with a very vital issue in Corinth. He's praying for them towards what he's going to deal with. Did you see that? Hallelujah. In Ephesians, or in Galatians, let's get to Galatians. Galatians 1 verse 3. You see it again. It says, "Grace to you and peace from the Lord, from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ." This is greetings. You see, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, to whom we glory." Say, I marvel that... Sorry, I guess I missed something out here. Okay. I skipped something here. Just give me a while. I'll get back to that. Let's get quickly to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verses 3. It says, "Blessed be God..." Please, just take that out. It says, "Blessed be God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens according to according as he has chosen us before him." And then you read down to verses 14. It now says, verses 16. It says, "He's not..." Or 15. "Wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all men, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayer." In Ephesians. That's Ephesians. In fact, in Ephesians, he seems to have two pre-introductions. In chapter 3 also, he says the same thing. He prays again. And the prayer is towards what is about to talk to them concerning. Also, you get to Philippians. You find it again. Philippians chapter 1 verses 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you. Is that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So you find it like that in almost all these writings. Glory to God. Where he prays. He prays for them as a pre-introduction. Glory to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2, he said, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remember without ceasing your works of faith and labor of love and patience." So you find that he will pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 So before he addresses or talks anything, he first prays concerning it. So in Colossae, he's going to do the same thing. In Colossae, he's going to do the same thing. Hallelujah.
He will do the same thing. He will pray. And then he will approach what he's about to tell.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, a brief Look at what we said concerning Colossae the last time. We said Colossae is a cosmopolitan area, like a commercial hall where they have a port. They have a port. So they have a port. In their day, having a port will mean that that will be a settlement area. People will have to settle in there. People from different tribes, different culture, different beliefs. Then, right? Giving us a very we said, so who are the people you find in Colossae? Say you find the Romans, you find the Greeks, right? You find the Jews, right? You find the Romans, the Greeks, the Jews. And then we said the original inhabitants of that place is the Phrygians. The Phrygians, spelled Phrygence. The Phrygians. They are the native of the land. So, what will Colossae represent today? Colossae will represent today major cities of our world. Or have people from different walks of life settling in there. Lagos will be an example where people from different backgrounds, different from different villages. In fact, there's this saying that I am going to Lagos for a better life. People say that from the villages, right? For a land of opportunity. So everybody says, so where is a settlement area? So Colossae represents for us that. Everybody today wants to jump back to area Paris. You go to Paris, or you're going to London, West London, or you're going to, you know, you just have that settlement area. You have places like that. Amen. Different people from different walks of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So if you have people from different walks of life, people from different belief systems, from different culture, a team you would have in Colossae will be the team of Mystra. Different belief system. Where people have mixed their knowledge of God with different other things. A mixed belief system. Hallelujah. So they mix with the knowledge of God different things. Hallelujah. That is, you can put it in two scenarios, and we're going to look at it. The mixture, you can put mixture in two scenarios. You have people who are saved, you have people who are saved but never let go of their old belief system. You can situate it like that. People who are saved and never let go of their belief system. We have such an example in Acts of Apostles chapter 15, we saw it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Never let go. Acts 15. Not the ones that Paul and Barnabas had disputes with. So those ones said, you can't be born again except to keep the law of Moses. And that also is. So you can't say you are born again except to keep the law of Moses. Amen. But the other said in verses 4, that said, yeah, it's good to be born again, say, but they should observe the law. Did you see that?
Sure.
Amen. That's the one that is even stronger, because that's mixture. They say you are saved. We know you are saved, but you must keep the laws. Did you see that? So that is mixture. You're not letting go of a belief system. Hallelujah. Of a belief system. They didn't let it go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see someone who is born again and is still carrying charm. It's a belief system. It's a belief system. It's mystery. Hope you are with me. It's a mystery. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody is born again, they say, I'm carrying charm because charm is fast. God used to slow. If you've not heard that, I've seen someone who is born again and then is wearing ring to do what? Ring. He says he's wearing the ring to stop arrows. That is mystery. This is what Paul is going to face. How about following? This is what Paul is going to face. Somebody who is born again and then he has some days where he do Allahu Akbar, he prays like that. Amen. Belief system. There are people like that.
born again and they are looking for, they have Christ, right? But they are counting the moon.
Is it full circle? Is it full circle? If it is full circle, let's know full circle means.
Do you understand? Did you see that?
So Paul is going to deal with that.
Glory to God. You don't, you know, today you can say no, me. Yes, because thank God for you. But you're going to encounter people like this, just like Paul had to encounter them on your journey to winning souls. You encounter people like that. You have people who are your disciples, right? Who are born again, tongue talking, and then they are still carrying. You see them at the tea junction, dropping. Say, what do they call this?
Sacrifice.
It's not a joke. I can't say, but there's a prominent place where people think it's a holy land. But at junctions, we still see sacrifice. We still see sacrifice. So what should we do? Rule out everybody? No. But you would have to encounter people like that. In fact, mixed belief system, you will now find somebody, let's even not go far. You now find somebody who is born again, that you led to getting saved. Right? You are teaching the person word, giving the person word. Right? You get high in the spirit, you speak in tongues, and the person is still taking codeine. You know, sir. Now we're going to, that's the second one I'm coming to, for it to be high, for your brain to be hyper. Amen. For you to see vision. To shine one for the road. You know, you have a mistress. But you have to deal with that. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Okay, follow me. You have to deal with that. So we say one. Then the second one will be the first one are those who are saved but never let go of their old beliefs. Okay? Right? So or you have those who allow their faith, but now they not allow the belief system of the world that is prevalent to have free course. That's what I put it in my notes. To have free course in their knowledge of God. To have control over them. Now there is a belief system in the world, right? This is not what they got. This was not what they were into before they got saved, right? But this one is that they are now saved. They now picked it up on the way. Those kind of useless belief system, and it's called mistrust. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Belief system.
Glory to God.
And it now comes into their worship of God. I'm called into that worship of God. It's called mistrust.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
You are not being concussion. A believer, they check your bag, you carry perfume. What is it for? It says, the fragrance of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's concussion. That's mistrust. Believer that is carrying olive oil. It's mixture now. What's the olive oil for? Amen?
Yeah.
And you say, I have the Holy Ghost. And what is the oil for? Say it's anointing. Amen. Amen. I took Goya oil to the office yesterday to clean. I usually do massage my hand. So I give it to someone. I don't have any story. I was not thanking God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is anointing oil. Let me anoint my hand. I said there's no prayer on the oil, hello. It's for massaging my hand. You say, Pastor Brown, I say, let me anoint my hand. I say, let me anoint my hand, sharp. I said, there's no prayer on the oil. It's what you say. It's for massaging. Glory to God. There's no prayer. You just pick up a lot of things on the way. Hallelujah. On the way.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Mistrust. So Paul is going to deal with this.
and we're going to see how he's going to deal with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, I heard this from Pastor Kevin, that a worse, or put it a wrong practice of Christianity is to have your understanding of Christ mixed with all that information. Your understanding of Christ is mixed. You have a mixture. And you know what? Pastors, leaders, you are going to have to deal with it in your service to the Lord. You have to deal with it across your members, and you also have to deal with it for yourself. Because you know why? Because there are still mixtures in the world today. And if we don't, if we are not careful, we are going to what? Run into them and think we are still serving the Lord purely. Do you get me? Amen. Amen. So have to consistently deal with it. So I have an example in my notes. You are born again and you still use comb. You still carry, you know, in comb. Comb here doesn't mean, if you don't know this, don't worry. Comb here doesn't mean you shouldn't use comb for your hair.
No.
You still use comb. Amen? Still use comb.
Alright.
Glory to God. You're born again, you still use coconut water. You don't know what it means. You see, it's apple. Amen. Amen. Here's the height of mystery. This, I've always told you guys this story. And sometimes, my God, yeah, I've been somewhere where they say people should bring calabash to church. It happened koro koro. He did a man to calabash to church, and you know, my father said, "Don't you go with calabash?" I said, "I'm not going." They bought calabash to church. That day I was like, you guys, first of all, they took apple. I was, I don't have a problem, apple is sweet. When we carry calabash, I said, is this tea church? Let's know you are not only acting Nollywood in church. Anyone that carries small for calabash? The only difference is that they did not put leaves inside. They put leaves inside. We should not know. Carry calabash to church. Every calabash, everybody is holding up. Every calabash, I used to say, drop it down. Boom! Carry calabash to church. Amen? Mister. Amen. Amen. Mister. Glory to God. Like, I want to tell you something. I've told you this. Someone attends the church and they told them to bring handkerchief. And I told them, anywhere you go, this handkerchief, when you clean your face, clean your face like this, people. You need to clean people into your face. So not knowing that it's a large church, not knowing that it's going for interview the next day, the person that is going for interview in his office too was attending the same church. So they both had handkerchiefs. Amen. It's not time for interview. They were not asking him question, he couldn't answer. The question was not tough. His idea was there. Oh, no, no. We're not scared. He now bought out the handkerchief. Now clean the stage. You really told them to clean. If I saw it, say, so it's in my church. He too brought out his own. Clean his own face. Let me just put my own cleaner. Mister. Did you see that? How did you get to that point? How did you arrive here? That is what we're talking about. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. Glory to God. So, you have that thing. But Paul's tone to them, now is that something to consider? Paul's language to them. Could he?
look at your house here, look at when you are coming to church. Unlike other churches, right? Paul, in dealing with these people, will not shout. Amen. He will employ, like I said to us, he will employ diplomacy in his tone. I'll use that word. He will employ diplomacy. He will use his words. He will make his word milder. And it's for a reason. Why? It's because the church at Colossae, Paul didn't start the church. Amen. Amen. Paul didn't start the church. Paul never visited the church. Do you see that? Paul didn't start. Paul didn't visit the church. Amen. So Paul used words because he does not know them. What we are following me? He doesn't know them. He only knows their pastor. What we are with me? He only knows their pastor. And their pastor is Epaphras. Glory to God. Their pastor is his disciple. So what is Paul doing? Paul is leaving, he's going to leave the hard part. The hard part. Those words. Like he would use for their pastor. It's their pastor that will now deliver it. You get me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Like in Galatians 3. In Galatians 2, they had mixture. Mixture was almost creeping in. Galatians 3, for example. I know last time we looked at Corinth. Let's look at Galatians 3. You see, down there already, Paul will use the word those who trouble them. So there that they had people who trouble them with all that kind of belief system. Amen. Now in chapter 3, Galatians 3, he said to them, "Oh foolish Galatians," he used foolish two times in one book to the same people. Even Jesus used it just once. Oh foolish has love heart to his own people. Look at what he said. Say, "Oh foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And for whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This I want to learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish?" Did you hear that? He's going to say, "Are you so foolish?" But if this was the church at Colossae, he would just tell them, "Beware of those who trouble you." Did you see that? Beware of those who trouble you. But this was his church that he was there. They saw him injured. He spoke to them. You know, how he entered Galatia, with injuries. Isn't that? And then he was preaching with all those injuries in his body. And then some people are now coming to spoil what he has done. He said, "Are you foolish?" You ain't gonna say that. "Are you foolish?" But this one, he doesn't know. He said, "Beware." If it is the church at Colossae, he will tell them, "Beware of those who spoil you. Beware." You will not leave that hard part or say, "Are you foolish?" to Epaphras. You see that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, he will use harsh tones for the church at Galatia, the church at Corinth, right? Hallelujah. But here he will employ a mild tone. Glory to God. So, the second thing in Colossae, we're going to explore, is the theme of the supremacy of Christ's knowledge. We spoke about it. So, in dealing with mixture, he will speak about the supremacy of the knowledge of Christ. And he will use it in absolute terms. He will say words like, "You are completing." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are complete in Him. Absolutely. You tell them Christ in you, the hope of glory. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He will use words like, that is to them, concerning them. Then he will use words like, in Christ dwells the words, the fullness of the Godhead. Absolute. He's not missing it. The fullness of the Godhead.
and he accomplished it. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Amen. Because then he will say Christ is the head. Is the head. You know, those are absolute clear terms to make you see that the knowledge of Christ is supreme. And nothing else measures up to it. Nothing. So you know why he would do that? That you will know that every other belief system is not comparable to the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. It's not comparable to the knowledge of God.
Glory to God. Let's see the characters in Colossians. Then we'll get into Colossians.
I hope to have this in two sessions, but I'll just take everything together. Let's
drag
it to one session.
Amen. Amen. Let's see the characters in Colossians. We have Epaphras. Epaphras. Now he's the one who started the church.
Paul's disciple and their pastor.
In Colossians 1:7. Colossians 1:7, it says, "You have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." So, he's a minister of Christ. Hallelujah. A minister of Christ, their pastor. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, who's that number? Okay. Sorry. Okay. So he says, praying for you fervently, showing you the role of a pastor or a leader. He must be found praying for the flocks. Must be found praying for the flocks. In Philemon, you find Epaphras again mentioned. Why will he be mentioned in Philemon? Because he is their pastor.
He's Philemon's pastor. So he will be mentioned. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Another person we have is Tychicus. Tychicus. Tychicus happened to be the one who delivered the letter to them. Colossians 4. Colossians 4 verse 7. It says, "Salute all my saints, shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." Did you see that? Tychicus is a pastor, the one who delivered the letter. Verses 18. It says, "The salutation by my hand," that is, this is Paul's signature, "the salutation by the hand of me, Paul." I mean, sorry. Am I ready? Okay. Sorry. I don't think it will go here. Okay, by me, Paul, remember my bones, grace be with you, amen. If you read some other translations, in brackets, "delivered by the hands of Tychicus and Onesimus." So, though that was added, but it's just there, Tychicus and Onesimus. So, was delivered by Tychicus and Onesimus. So, Tychicus represents that brother who delivered the letter. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, he will also be the one to deliver what? Which other letter again? Apart from this, he will deliver it with Ephesians and what? Philemon. Look at that verse 7 again. It says, Tychicus, verse 7, are you there? It says, "Tychicus, declare unto you, shall declare unto you, who is the beloved brother and faithful minister, fellow servants in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your heart with Onesimus. Did you see that? A faithful brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things that are done here. So he sent Tychicus and Onesimus to deliver the letter to both Colossae, Philemon, and to Ephesians. Right? Another character we find here. Another character we find here will be will be Timothy. The first one on the text. Timothy. Okay, but before we get to Timothy, let's see, before we get to Timothy, put one hand there, let's see another character in the person of Luke. Luke and Demas. Luke and Demas. Now, very vital. Luke and Demas. Now, Luke happened to be a physician, and in Luke, that would be in verses 14 of Colossians 4. He said, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. At the point of writing this, you remember Paul was in house arrest. Luke and Demas were his associates. Did you see that? Right? Demas and Luke. Luke is a physician. Hallelujah. But by when he will be writing, arguably, we call it arguably, his last letter in Timothy, to Timothy, right? His last letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 10, Demas had forsaken him. Demas had backslided. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Cronus, to Galatians, Titus, unto Dalmatia, but he had loved the present world and had gone to Thessalonica. Amen. Hallelujah. But verse 11 says, only Luke is with me. So Luke remained a disciple. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke stayed for Demas. So it shows you that the lifestyle of a believer should be a consistent one. There's nothing like I used to. No, it must be a consistent practice. And it's something you would see well as you get into Colossae. You see that Paul will employ that, a lifestyle of consistency. It will come out in Paul's writing, a lifestyle of consistency. Then we'll have another person, Timothy. I'll run through Timothy because I've done this study on Timothy in both in Galatian. No, not Galatian, both in, I mean in Corinth. Now Timothy is a very important personality in almost all of Paul's writing. You won't find him in Galatians and Ephesians. But in 1 Timothy, you find that he sent Timothy to Ephesus. Did I mention Ephesians now? Right? So you find him in Ephesus. So that means, though Timothy wasn't mentioned in the book of Ephesus, he was in Ephesus. Did you see that? So the character also in Ephesus. But you will find him in Galatians. The reason is not far-fetched. It's because Galatians happened to be Paul's first book. Arguably, but it's Paul's first book. Because in that writing, you will find him mentioned Barnabas. Did you see that? Barnabas. And at the time when Barnabas was with Paul, right, Timothy hadn't come into the scene. Okay, follow me. When you look at it from the book of Acts. So Galatians is the first book of Paul. And at that time, Timothy was not available with Paul. Hope you're with me. So that's why you won't find his name in Galatians. But you find him in all of his writings.
every of Paul's writing. Paul will send Timothy to Ephesians. Who sent Timothy to Ephesians?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By Philippians, chapter 2. Let's get to Philippians 2. So, Timothy is that disciple that every pastor desires to have. Places Paul can't go, he will send Timothy. And he will be sure that Timothy will deliver like him.
Amen. Timothy is that kind of pastor, is that kind of disciple that every discipler wants to have.
Hallelujah. Therefore, look at what he says in Philippians concerning him. Philippians 2, verses 19. Look at what he says. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your sake, for your state." Did you see that? I have no man like-minded. He calls Timothy one that has a like mind.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So therefore, a disciple should carry the flavor and duty of their discipler. Of their discipler. Where the discipler can't go, the disciple should go. Can confidently send the disciple. He's carrying the flavor of the discipler. Look at Jesus. Jesus will send his disciples. Then that Jesus will send his disciples will carry the flame.
Hallelujah.
So he calls him like-minded. So therefore, we can say Timothy is a replica of Paul. You can't claim to be a disciple of another and you do not carry his lifestyle
and you don't carry the lifestyle of your disciple.
You can't claim to be a disciple of someone and you are not living his life, and we cannot find traces of his life star in your life. No, we can't.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at the disciples.
The Bible says that they call them unlearned. They call them unlearned.
But when they took note of them, they said they've been with Jesus. Did you see that? That they have been with Jesus.
So there's something that they saw in them that they've seen in Jesus. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. So the disciple must reflect the character and the lifestyle of the disciple.
Very much.
Hallelujah.
Let's begin to get into Colossians. Let's just start this as another, but let's just run through it. We've got time. So where we can stop, where we can get to, we'll stop.
Let's get to Colossians. Colossians. Hallelujah.
Colossians 1. He says, remember, I've told us that we're going to rework the verses, right? Did we say that?
Rework the verses, the chapters, right? Try to situate it within where? Paragraph. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that means we can rearrange some things. Look at Paul. Look at Paul. Look at Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Now and again, you find the address of the sender. Paul. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Yes.
Paul and Timothy. The address. Verse 2, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What he said there? He said to the saints, that is the recipients, the saints and faithful brethren. He called them saints.
Watch it. He called them saints.
Paul used that word saints in his writings about 75 times. That word hagios. The word hagios, saints, holy, used it 75 times. His disciple, Luke,
used it 58 times. Do you see that? In the book of Acts alone. Amen. You can see he used the same word like his disciple. But let's see this. Hagios. He called them saints. He used for that which is holy, sanctified. And Paul used it for believers. You know, there are people who say saints are people who are dead. I don't know where they get that from. Hallelujah. But used for believers. Those who are God's own. Hallelujah. Those who are God's own are called saints. That word saints is a Moses' language. It's a Moses word. Moses will use it for the children of Israel. These are the children of Israel. Because these are God's redeemed ones. They are called saints. In Deuteronomy chapter 33. Let's get to Deuteronomy 33 quickly. So, remember I told you the origin of word to be where? The Old Testament books, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 33 verse 1. It says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. Watch it. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Watch it. So, he came with 10,000 of his saints, and he gave out this law to them. Look at verse 3. Yea, he loved the people. Watch it. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hands, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy word. Do you see that?
Yes,
amen.
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 So, who does he call saints? Those who are delivered. Referring to the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Chronicles, okay, put 2 Chronicles 6 verse 4, Psalm 16 verse 3, let's get to Psalm 30 verse 4, and they are all used for people who are alive, believers, or, let me take that word, the children of Israel. Do you see that? Are you the children of Israel? Amen. Now, look at Psalm 30, verse 4. Ye sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Do you see that? Hallelujah. At the remembrance of his holiness. So, who is to give thanks? Saints, his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you find it also in Psalm 31 verse 23, Psalm 34 verse 9. So saints are used for God's people, those whom he delivered. So in the epistles, you discover that when the epistles use it for believers, it's a identification unifier to say, just like the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, we have been delivered from darkness to light. Did you see that? Therefore, we are God's saints because we are delivered. We've been called apart. We've been sanctified holy. Hope you're following me.
Yes, sir.
Hope you're following me. We've been sanctified. We are holy. So, we are called saints. Did you see that? We are called saints. To what? We are called saints because of what has happened to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he called the church at Corinth saints, to the saints at Corinth. In chapter 6 verse 11, he said they are washed, they are sanctified. You see that? So saints are the sanctified ones. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Saints are the sanctified ones. Now, what does he call them? Back to Colossians. What does he call them? He says to the saints and faithful. Let's go back there. He called them faith and faithful brethren in Christ. which has Colossae, faithful brethren in Christ. That's what Christos out there for us in Christos. Faithful brethren in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you use that word, Christos out there for us in Christos, this speaks to those who have faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it means, faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Faith in Christ Jesus. They have faith in the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Faith in the message. Hallelujah. And when it says faith in Christ Jesus, it takes away the belief system that we all are one. No, this belief system that we are all one. We all serve the same God. No, it takes away that. Because God is known in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It takes away that. So we serve the same God. We are all one. One religion. No, it's not one religion. Hallelujah. We can be a country, right? We can be in a country where there are different religions, but it's not one religion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are not one religion or one God. No. Hallelujah. It is faithful brethren in Christ. In Christ. So that means our identification, right? Our identification is in Christ. Is in Christ. So when you use the word, I'll take away that word out there first for now. We'll bring it back later. When you use the word Pistos and Christos, which is faithful in Christ, it implies faith is only found in Christ Jesus. Now what it means? Faith in Christ. Is that? So I said, you take away their death for this, then let's read it that Christos and Christos. It means that our faith is only found in Christ. Faith is not found in any other thing else. It's in Christ. Hallelujah. So the word brethren is the word out there for. It's also in Moses' language. In Moses' language. Found in Abraham and Lot. When Abraham said to Lot, let there be no dispute between me and thee, between thy servant and my servant, for we be brethren. Did you see that? We be brethren. Now he said that we be brethren to show that because they came out from Haran together. Did you see that? They came out from Haran together. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Is also a word, is an Exodus word. An Exodus word. Used for the children of Israel. To mean we are saved together. Our death force means, in quotes, it means we are saved together. We are saved together. We have the same Savior. Our death force means we have the same Savior. We are saved together. We are delivered together. We are together. We are from the same source. We're in Christos, in Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So what binds us is identification first. They now say, which are at Colossae. Did you see that? So what binds us is not location. What binds us first is what? Identification, then location. Did you see that? So what binds us first is identification. Very vital. So we are saved together. We are saved together. Glory to God. That's how we are called brethren. You can't have, you know, and then this is another mystery where you see somebody on the pulpit say, our Muslim brethren. Our Muslim brethren. Actually, do you hear that sometimes when they are doing joint service in the military? Our Muslim brethren. There was a time they say there was one time that they say we are leaving church to go and join our Muslim brethren in mosque. I just went home. I just went home. Muslim brethren. Is that? I go and join them to do armed forces remembrance day. I don't want to remember anything. My father is an armed forces member. Go and do it. Rubbish is that. But one time that we came to church, now close service, now say it is now armed forces remembrance day. Let's go to Catholic church. That one is even better. But let's, our Muslim brethren that are here, just be on your feet, you want to appreciate it. Muslim brethren. Amen. No. What binds us is that is mixture. You don't know it's mixture.
It means shock.
Was it our pagan brethren? No, you can't even say that. We will quickly spot that one out. Where from? Jonathan.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
There's nothing like that.
I had a minister, a Islam minister in Nigeria said that Muslim brethren. Now the Nigerian on TV. Muslim brethren. That there let there be no celebration. I'm Muslim brethren. No. There's nothing like that.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We are what? In Christ. We are brethren in Christ first. Amen. Amen. We are brethren because we believe. Now that doesn't now mean you now go out and you now see people from your village and say, no, we are not brethren, no. There's a sense in which you can call someone from your town, right? From your village, brethren. Brethren means brother, right? That's what it means in English, brother. But in, as you are saying that to your friend, my brother, brother means alpha. As you are saying that, be renewing your mind immediately. Just renew your mind. No, yes, I'm not saying you know me say, no, you're not my brother. I say, brother me, say, no, mind yourself. As you're doing that, you're renewing your mind. My brothers are in Christ. My brothers are in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Like, you know, is a belief system. Before you know, one day you know, I'm a preacher and say, you know, our Muslim brethren that are passing. You know, tomorrow is you're going to eat lamb for my Muslim brethren. What kind of statement is that?
Glory to God. You can't say that.
You know you can't say that. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So it says in Christ, brothers in Colossians, look at what it says next. It says, grace be unto you and peace from our Father, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Now he's not saying that, oh, God is saying to you, grace unto you. No. When he says grace unto you and peace from God our Father, he is commending what we have. Grace unto you. It's like saying something that you have. You are saying it out. Do you see that? It's not grace. God is sending grace to you now. No. He's saying, this is what we have. Grace and peace. That is from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus. Is that? This is what we have. So he is commending what has happened to us as a greeting. Look at how he greets. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Assalamu alaikum. Blessing upon his hand, say, I received the blessing. Yeah, you should be talking about what has happened to you. Amen. What has happened to you? So that's how Paul situates his greeting. To speak about what the believer has in the new birth. He calls it grace and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And where is the grace? The grace is in Christ. The grace is in Christ. Now look what he says here. He said, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now watch it. He says, grace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you. Now something we have to see there. The grace is in Christ. And who are in Christ? We are in Christ. Right?
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. So since we said he's giving commendation of what? What is common amongst us. That's what he says. This is what is common amongst us. Grace and peace. Right? Common amongst us. So we have to give thanks to the Father. Good. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ. That is verse 4. And the love which you have to all the saints. Now. Here seems like. The greetings end in verse 3. Watch it. Let's just look at something together. It says, me, I will situate the first paragraph to be from verse 1 to verse 3 where you have Jesus Christ. How? An apostle to the saints and faithful brethren which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe that's very nice. That is just the thing. That is just the open.
Then we have praying always for you. Right? Since we heard, now I will once, if I had my Bible, I put it there, verse 4 starts from that. Praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in the Lord, in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have for all the saints. So we're praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ.
So when did we start praying? Since we heard of your faith in Christ. Did you hear that? Amen. So your praying always would be, this is for, since we heard of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Put your hands there. And let's get down to Ephesians 1:15. Let me show you something. Put your hands there. From verse 15. Are you got Ephesians 1:15? See, wherefore? This is direct, the same verbiage. You know, I told you, he wrote those two letters together so you could actually see the same word, how it's used, right? Look at verse 15. Say, wherefore, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. Did you see that? Is that the same?
Yes,
cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Can you see that?
Yes,
so, praying always for you will start that. Praying always for you since we heard of your faith. Did you see that? So you can situate that together. Amen. Now we use the word always there is the word pantote. P-A-N-T-O-T-E. Pantote. It implies that which you do without taking a break. What you do without taking a break. And who is he praying for? He's praying for people. Did you see that? He's praying for them. So, very vital. He used the word praying again. That word praying is the word prosetomai. It means to desire. Prosetomai, to desire. So, praying always, right? For you, people, right? Right? And he will pray for people he cannot see. He has never met them, but he's praying for them. And this is very vital. Some people, there's this sense where we can just, where we only pray for people that we know and we can see. Right? People you can see. But you know you can pray further for people you can see. Yes, you pray for them. But you're aware of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So prayer, here, or prayer, generally in scripture, if you look at Paul, was not used for things. Rather, he prayed for people. For people. Was not used for things, but rather for people. So we can say, look at Jesus also. Jesus in John 17 was praying about for people. Is that was praying for men? When we went out all night to pray, we were surrounding the tent in the mountain. We went to the mountain to pray. What was he praying about? He was praying for God's tax in the earth, which will be men. Did you see that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When he taught them to pray, when he taught them to pray, he didn't teach them to pray for things. It was for men. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. For it's not for things. Daily bread, there's not for things. Daily bread is praying for tomorrow's bread, which is eternal life. And say that to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And it's concerning forgiveness of sin. Very vital. Hallelujah. So your prayer life must be dominated by praying for you, praying for men. Or your prayer life should be dominated with praying for men. About men. Now he says pray for you. Heard heard of your faith in Christ. Watch it. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love which ye have for all the saints. Now it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ, is this salvation or conduct? Eh? Okay. Actually, it's not salvation, you're talking about conduct.
Since we heard of your conduct. Now, if you have faith in Christ there, it's not salvation. Look at what he used. Look at how he explained your faith in Christ. That is, he used the word and love. That word and there, it means, is the word kahi used for which is. Right? Which is. The same verbiage again in Ephesians. We're getting back to Ephesians, but let's see Philemon.
Philemon 5. Let's get to Philemon 5. Are you Philemon? Let's see 5. It says, hearing of you thy love and faith. You see that? Which you have towards the Lord and towards the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. You see that? And it was referring to conduct. Ephesians 1, 5. 15. It says, wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. So, you read that. So, faith here deals with their conduct. Hallelujah. So when it says the faith here rather is the love you have for the saints. That's the faith there. The love you have for the saints is the faith there. Remember, like I said to us, you don't have a hard and fast rule for what you say there. You have to read them in context. Right? So he's referring to conduct. So the faith here deals with their conduct, as I said earlier. So Paul, what he's referring to here is referring to what is called active faith. Active faith. And active faith is demonstrated in our love for the brethren, esteeming the brethren. Hallelujah. Esteeming the brethren. So, quick one. I've heard when people say Paul and James differ in their use of faith. I've heard that several. And that's as a result of lack of proper study. Maybe we say Paul's definition of faith is what's when you believe. Then James will say faith is works. I've heard a minister say faith, I mean James is teaching legalism. Because James did not know death, does not have Paul's revelation. And yet, Paul submitted to James. Yeah? And yet, Paul submitted to James. Think about it. Stop it. James said, faith without work is dead. Paul said, faith is the substance of things hope. The evidence of things not seen. So now you're saying it's just you've not read well. Hallelujah. They didn't differ in faith, no. Hallelujah. Amen. See how Paul taught faith. He says he taught faith as, Paul taught that faith produces works. That's how Paul taught faith. It produces work, produces conduct. And that is what James is referring to. Look at James. Sometimes it's because people don't read in context. James 2. James 2. Are you in James 2? Let's read from verse 14. It says, What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have no works, can faith save him? Now people think at this point, he's thinking when God is saying, can faith save him? They think he's referring to salvation. And that is where there's a problem. That Paul said we are saved by faith and James said we are saved by works. No. The Savior, you have to read that Savior in context. Now let's read the context of the Savior. It says, if a brother or a sister be naked and a destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be a warm and filled, notwithstanding, yet give him not those things which are needed to the body, what does it profit? Did you see that? What does it profit? Even so faith, if he have not works, it is dead being alone. Did you see that?
He's talking about active faith. He's not talking about faith for salvation. He's talking about active faith. Now, when he says, can faith save him there, should be situated in that context of a man who is destitute of food.
Yeah.
And you just tell him, he says, I'm hungry, I say, receive it. Be blessed. Take it! Will faith save that one? Did you see that? He's talking about active faith. That is to say, because he's in need, I'm going to provide. Did you see that? That is active faith. And that's what Paul is talking about. Faith will produce a work. Hope you are with me. So many times people read them apart. No. We don't read the God. Hope you are following me. People read them apart and they miss the communication. They just pick one part, one verse. You know, I said to you, when you take a verse out of context, you can give it anything you want to give it that the author didn't intend for it to have. Hallelujah. That is when you begin to see aeroplane inside Revelation. And even John himself will say, how? How did you see aeroplane and helicopter? He said, the locusts. So that is helicopter. That is machine gun. How? Amen? You heard of that? That is atomic bomb. Look at Hiroshima war. How? John would say, how did you know Hiroshima? I don't know what Hiroshima. But you will situate it in scripture because you've taken that verse out of context. Okay, follow me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Let's go further. Colossians. Just in verse 5. Hope you're understanding this.
Verse 5. It says, pray always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints. What he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel. He said, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now when you find that word heaven there, the word heaven there is the word Uranus. O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Now if you are in this church and you are asking, does this refer to the sky? Does it refer to the planets? We should conk your head. Because we've taught you over and again that heaven is used for what? The spirit. Spiritual. Right? The spirit. Not a planet. Amen. Amen. The spirit. I will say it's used for where Christ is. We're going to see that too in Paul's writing. So when I read when I read Colossians 3 verse 1, now let's see what he's saying concerning Uranus. He says, if ye be risen with Christ, say, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. So when he says, seek those things that which are above, is the word spiritual, which are above. Now says, set your affection on the things which are above, spiritual. Right? But hold on here. Let's see where he writes similar words, use similar words in Ephesians. And let's see what he's talking about. Then we can read it into Colossae also. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. So the heavenlies is where? In Christ. Did you see how Paul writes about the heavenlies? Where's the heavenlies? In Christ. Hallelujah. Chapter 2 verse 5. And you know why we easily will flow to Ephesians? It's because they wrote it together. Look at me.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because they wrote it together. So you find the same, almost the same verbiage used. Look at verses 5, chapter 2. It says, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So, where are we? In heavenlies, in Christ. So, heavens is where Christ is, and where the believer is. Did you see that? Is that identification? Is that identification?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 1, heavenlies is where Christ is. Right? In chapter 2, heavenlies is where the believer is. That is identification. So, heavenlies is used for where the believer is, where Christ is seated, which is the spirit. Right? Spiritual. So, you mustn't lose that. He's referring to spiritual. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it's not a planet. It's used for where Christ is. So, in Colossians chapter 3, it now says, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated. Is that the heavenlies? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the heavenlies is where Christ is. Quickly, get back to verse 5. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So the hope is in heaven where Christ is. Let's see what the hope is. Verses 27. Let's see what is the hope. To whom God will make known the riches of his glory, of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of. Hope of? Are you not with your Bibles? Hope of glory. You guys are distracted looking at a little baby that is playing ball. I'm not reading your Bibles. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So, the hope which is in heaven is Christ in you. That's what it means. That's what Paul is saying. That this hope, right? For the hope which is laid in heaven is Christ in you. Identification, like we said. Hallelujah. So, use of that word again, laid. Laid, laid up. Is the word apokemai. A-P-O-K-E-I-M-A-I. Is used for to appoint, to designate. You find it in Luke 19:20, 2 Timothy 4:8, Hebrews 9:27. Luke 19:20, 2 Timothy 4:8, Hebrews 9:27. So what Paul is saying to the church at Colossae is, remember he's praying for them, right? He's saying, sorry, I'll take that back and I'll put it like this. What Paul is going to say to the church at Colossae is, will be words that are from heaven. Heavenly, spiritual. Because here's what he's saying, that you really must not lose sight of. He said, pray always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof for ye heard before in the truth of the gospel. He said you've heard before. So that means whatever thing is going to say to them from in Colossae will be spiritual. It will be from the heavens where they are. He's telling them whatever thing is saying to them will not be far from them. It will be where they are, where Christ is. Did you see that? So it will be at home in you. It's something that is not distant from you. Remember I told you, our conducts are not moral. Our conducts are from salvation. Did you see that? So we don't call it morals, right? We don't call it morals so that we don't situate it outside the believer. I love not because it is morals. I love because it is my nature. Did you see that? Glory to God. I cannot steal. I cannot kill because it's not consistent with my nature. Not because morals is teaching me, but because first I see it as my nature. Not to kill, not to steal. Did you see that? So Paul is going to, now there's mysteries. So whatever Paul is telling them will be what is available where they are in Christ. Spirituals. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Now here's what he said again. He said, which ye heard before. When you heard before, he said it's already is something you already know. You already know it. You already know it. So that means he's not telling you anything anymore. That is different from what you know
from the scriptures. Amen. Which you have heard before. Amen. In the word of the truth of the gospel. We call it the word of the truth of the gospel. So that word of the truth is used for the gospel. Word of the truth. The same word is word of life. Word of the truth. Word of life. Word of faith. They are all the same. And will be words used, this will be word of truth will be used for the gospel. Gospel from where? Gospel from the Old Testament books. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So let's see. Let's go further. He said, which came unto you? Which came unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. Watch it. He says, it came unto you as it is in all the world. So that means the same message of the gospel is the same message. Amen. It doesn't change form. It's the same message. No one, no church has his own version of the gospel. That's what he said. No church, no one has his own version of the gospel. That is why what he wrote to them, he also said they should give it to the church at Laodicea. Because it's the same message. The truth of the gospel doesn't change form. Amen? No church has its own version of the gospel. No church has a unique, different message. The message is the same message. Amen? Amen? God's Spirit can direct your heart towards some emphasis that have been neglected, but you don't have a unique message. How about you, everybody?
Yes.
Glory to God. It's the same message. So, why is he saying this? Because there is mystery. You see that? There is mystery, and he's telling them the message does not change form. Amen? Amen? I heard of someone one time that came to meet me, and I questioned the person, why are you, lay hands on people to get healed, and then you are doing mischief. When I mean mischief, you're not giving the person drugs. I mean, not even drugs, drugs is even better. You are doing like herbalists. Give the person chain to wear. And I said, what rubbish are you doing? One thing of this, the person said, no, you know, you are a preacher. And she doesn't preach, doesn't know Bible. So she just know how to walk it. I said, where is it in the Bible? She said, no, this is a special ministry. Did you see that? I met someone that she gave a ring. I said, what is this ring for? He said, it's a ring that will block every arrow. I said, remove the ring. After all the messages. I said, the ring. What rubbish is that? After all the messages, your faith will not depart from the Lord. Did you see where it is? Your faith is now on ring. Charm. I said, do you know what you are carrying? You are carrying charm. You are not different from the man that goes to sit in herbalist and they give the person a charm. Charm! Charm! Amen! Glory to God. Charm. You are wearing charm and you are praying. Oh, praise the Lord, you sing and sing. Or, which other song? God is my helper. I think God is your helper. Amen. In your presence, I am content. In your presence, there is life. Expressions of your life. You are carrying charm. Revelation of your power and might. In your presence I can bring my love song up for thee. Which love song? Which love song are you bringing with charm in your hand? And then you have somebody that goes to herbalist. You are saying, hell, he's serving another god. You, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you see that? So Paul is writing, the gospel, nobody has a unique gospel. You're going to see that. When man begins to tell them, nobody should judge you as regards eating what is clean or unclean. You see that? But we will say, this is our own gospel. We came with it all the way from Israel. This is pure. Pure. Hope you are hearing me. So Paul is not going to. You see the reason why he's saying this here. Amen.
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 Amen. Go with us all.
It's nothing like unique gospel or unique in this part of Africa. This is how we used to preach it. Because we have so many witches. So the gospel now is not situated around witches. How? The reason why we pray like this Holy Ghost is because of his Africa. I don't understand. To kill all the enemies. What? Amen? Glory to God. Hope you are following me. There's nothing called unique. My own unique message from the Lord. As what? Two holy priests. Thank you. Continue. Amen. Glory to God. So where are we? Verses what? Ah. And are you sure we can round up chapter 1 like this? Verse 6. Which came unto you? Amen. Sorry, I'm checking for something. Okay, verse 6. Okay, it says, which came unto you as it is in all the world. So, as it is in all the world is the same message, right? Right? In all the world is the same message. And bringeth forth fruit. He picked that word. I picked that word. It's the word carpophoreo. Carpophoreo. Bringeth forth fruit. K-A-R-P-O-P-H-O-R-E-O. Carpophoreo. Is the same word used by Jesus in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13 verse 23. And let's see what the message of the gospel does. Hallelujah. 23. Like that, it says. Oh, sorry. Hey, your presence is mine. Expression of your light. Verse 23. It says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Now it says, bringeth forth. I mean, beareth fruit is the same word. Beareth fruit. You find it in Mark 4:20, the same word, the same parable, Luke 8:15. So, it's used to describe the good soil. Amen? It's to describe the good soil. So, Paul now brings that in. Since they believe, therefore, their heart is the good ground. You see that? Used to describe the good ground, the good soil. So since they believe, their heart is what? Is the good ground. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So their heart is the good ground. So in essence, what Paul is saying here is, if we hear the same thing, we believe, we bear the same fruits. You notice that? That's what he's saying. If we hear the same thing we believe, what will happen is that we will bear fruits. Amen. Bear fruit. Glory to God. So a believer ought to bear fruit. A believer ought to bear fruit. And will bear fruit from God's word that he hears. From God's word that he hears. Hallelujah. So a believer should bear fruit
from God's word that he hears.
So when you use that word bear there, is the word oxamenu, to stay. What stays?
What stays?
So, consistency is one of the proof of growth. Consistency. So you keep hearing to grow. A believer bears fruit constantly, consistently. So, watch it. You see, it is which is common to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, and it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it. Did you see that? And knew. The word knew there is the word epigenosko, which is full recognition of something. The grace of God in truth. So in all this, what Paul is saying is that the message is the same. It's the same message you got, that you heard, that you got saved. It's the same message you will see here for what? Spiritual growth. And you will have to stay in it. Is that? For the growth to come. So therefore we can say, consistency is the character of spiritual growth. Consistency is the character of spiritual growth, staying with it. Will you get to a point where you become bored? Yes. But you have to stay with it. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Something we'll see after this teaching.
I guess immediately after prayer retreats on the 28th, we'll be dealing with boredom. God's dealing with boredom. Hallelujah. We have to learn to deal with boredom. We have to learn. Because the human mind is actually how should I put it? Easily wants to look for something new, itching. And Paul warns against it. Amen. It's a teaching I would love to start teaching us in prayer retreat, but I might not have the time to. So we'll just take it on Sunday. Amen. We'll be done. Prayer retreat is on Friday to Saturday. We'll be done on Saturday evening. Then on Sunday we'll have church. So we'll take it on. Hallelujah. We have to learn to deal with boredom. Hallelujah. Learn to deal with boredom. Hallelujah. For spiritual fruits. We'll not always have itching ears. Because what is a life of consistency is a life where at first when you start hearing, you are hearing words. Look around. Right? Let me hear new thing. Kata epigenosko. Lambano. Kata lambano. And you say, see board. And you are needing to go and deal with your disciples. Do you know that because they are coming for the first time? But the same word that you heard, just be ready to hear it for the next 30 years, for the rest of your lifetime. Now people, that is where some believers are not prepared. So after 5-6 years, they are looking for another church to go to. They want to go and hear new things again. No. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. I can come to what I've been saying since 2018. I'm not changing. Even before then, I'm not changing. Because there's no way. Why are you running to? Hallelujah. Amen. My just build on it, and then, but it's the same thing. The same thing said to you in different forms. But that is what you need. So you don't have to discipline yourself to stay. If not, you easily want to hear something new. Amen. Do you know that mixture is, when people come to church, this is mixture. You come to church and you're dancing scale, you know it's mixture. You guys are quiet. It's mixture. Hey, everybody, look, you are the Lord. You're not going now. Mixture. Because that was not what was delivered. So when we dance, let's dance laba laba in church. Laba laba, laba laba. It's not dance of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I already know some of the dancing church like this. In church.
Cover.
In mission.
He has entered. What we are going to fight outside has entered.
Amen. It has entered. But that is it. It's mission. They like our church. Every day they'll sit down and be hearing the word. There's the word. Let's go to somewhere they will do bazaar. Your ears begin to talk.
This is that. I want to be part of women fellowship.
There's problem.
Why? You want to be tying two rappers?
And begin, hello, hello. Hello, Jesus.
Hello. I heard one recently that there are the sand. That Misco.
Satan has given Misco. Unavailable. I'm not available.
See, I'm not happy.
Say, I miss it too. All this time, word, we'll come to church, hear word 1 hour, 2 hours. On Children's Day, we did not have Children's Day celebration.
And want to do Father's Day.
Or the men come and sing. I do worship the
Lord. You just wonder how you have seen something and your ears now want it, your body now wants it. You are not prepared for growth. Like I said to us, growth can be reversed. Spiritual growth can be reversed. So there is no end point when you say, this is the end point for spiritual growth, I'm now a pastor. I've seen somebody who have become from a pastor to an atheist. From a pastor to an herbalist. Not a joke. This is what I'm telling you, not a joke. I've seen somebody from a committed member. Today, he's in the village. And he's doing jazz. He's not doing jazz, he's going to collect jazz. He is. There is a more. It's not a joke. In this era. Somebody that I know. Somebody that has slept in my house, in my father's house. Somebody that has carried us, went to fetch water on Bezo. He lived with us. Is this a more in this century? So leave those things. Committed in church. Well, they call it committed. Because he was in all the... What do they call that thing?
Agencies.
Agencies even better. He was in all... If they are doing Children's Day, he's there. Executive. They are doing... He's always in all the committee. He used to sew all the committee clothes. Today, is that a joke? I didn't get it. Somebody was telling me what he said. He said, everything are God. Everything are God. God in church, God in this place is the same God he's serving.
Amen. I've not traveled to my village for a long time. If I go to my village, I'm going to say, it's rubbish.
Hallelujah.
It's rubbish. I'll pay me this.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We are still far from where I want us to get to. And our time is up. Okay, verse 7. He says, now let's read from verses 4 into verse 7 together. Praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, the same message, right? Which is come unto you as it is in all the world. You see that? The same in all the world. And bringeth forth fruit. So it's the same message that brings fruit. And doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in the truth, as ye also learnt of Epaphras. So that means Epaphras, right? Epaphras taught the same message. Do that? I just heard from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So we can say all of Paul's disciples thought the same thing. They thought the same thing.
Epaphras heard from Ephesus, became a disciple in Ephesus. He took the word to Colossae, and the gospel did not change. So nations, tribe, culture doesn't change the message.
Do you get me? Nations, tribe, culture doesn't change the message.
Hallelujah. Doesn't change the message.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he speaks about Epaphras, verse 8. He says, who have declared to us your love in the Spirit. Now, it's very vital to see this. Your love in the Spirit. That word declared, the word delo. Delo. To announce something plainly. To announce something plainly. Now when it says your love in the Spirit, and that is quite engaging. When you hear the word your love in the Spirit, you then ask yourself, who is love before? Is it not in the Spirit? Right? So what does it mean when you say your love in the Spirit? Now, it's one of two things. It's either you leave it like this, or at the same thing, you split it. How? Your love, when it's talked about your love there, that's verse 4 already. What's the love? Towards the Spirit. Watch it. He has declared us, declared unto us your love. Is it towards the saints? He has said it earlier. It's towards the saints. So what is the Spirit there? I believe myself. I believe that I would rather take in the Spirit to the next verse 9. What has he declared your love, which is seen where? In your walk, your conduct towards the saints. Right? Then verse 9. I believe verse 9 should start with in the Spirit for this cause. Declared unto us your love. Now say, for in the Spirit, for this cause also, since we they will heard of it. Right? Right? Do not cease to pray for you. Did you see that? Or we put for it, for this cause, we, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you in the Spirit. Did you see that?
Yes,
so, the in the Spirit there should be verse 9. In the Spirit. So, let's read that together with Ephesians. Ephesians 1:16. Again, you find the same verbiage. We saw this on Wednesday. It says, cease not to give, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, and love to all the saints. Did you see that? Love to where? All the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he comes in here, and then he says, declare to you of your love, declare to us of your love, right? In the Spirit for this cause. Since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Did you see that? Like he's speaking it out from Ephesians verbatim. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Can you say speaking it from Ephesians verbatim? We wrote them together. Wrote them together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, he speaks to them about spiritual growth, and then he says he prays for them. So that means prayer is the fulfillment to securing a believer's growth.
To securing a believer's growth.
Now he used this word, my desire. Now, use the word there, to desire. Cease to pray for you and desire. Now, the word desire there implies deals with a petition. It deals with a petition. He says, do not stop. Do not cease. So there are prayers you don't stop praying for believers. Amen. You don't stop praying for believers. He doesn't stop praying for believers. And what Paul did there is that he now wrote out the prayer. Very, very vital. He wrote out the prayer. So why did he write out the prayer?
He wrote out the prayer because prayer will need the will of the beneficiary to work.
It will need the will of the beneficiary to work.
So he will write it out for them to see. This is what I'm praying for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So he writes it out.
And what does he write? He said that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So that means, if Paul writes that, it means prayer is God's will. We know that prayer is God's will, right? Right? And since prayer is God's will, it therefore is important that prayer should be in a teachable form. It's God's will. So, the way Paul will write out his prayer, he will write it out in such a way that you could teach from. It's like a teaching note.
Do you see that? He says, look at what he said. He said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he writes it out. So if I'm praying God's will, I'm praying God's word. And if prayer is God's will, if prayer is God's word, it therefore it can be taught. In John 17, where I showed us earlier, where I spoke about that, when Jesus was praying, he was praying out God's word in the Old Testament books. So therefore, prayer should be something I can teach from God's word. What I can teach from God's word. So as it were, what Paul has done is to write out his, what we call today, prayer point. But I rather call it prayer focus. He writes it out. This is the prayer focus. Do you see that? This is the prayer focus. And I can teach from it. Not the prayer point to kill enemies. No. A prayer point that is teachable from scriptures. Amen.
Mm.
Amen. Therefore, prayer should be Bible doctrine.
Prayer should be Bible doctrine. It should be scriptural and teachable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
So, let's go ahead. So, and it's very vital. The prayer here was not about people dying. It was not about money. It was not about material things. No, it is about faith. So, your prayer should be a prayer of faith. It should flow from God's word. To flow from God's word. To flow from God's word. Therefore, I wrote down what Pastor Shepherd said. He says, do not trust a ministry that claims to be praying and despise the study of the word. That claims to be praying and despise the study of the word. Because if you claim to be praying and you're not studying the word, you'll be praying amiss. and you despise all the words, you'll be praying amiss. Right? And if you claim to know God's word and you're not praying, you don't know God's word. I'll say that again. If you claim to be praying and you despise the study of God's word, I can't trust your ministry. And if you claim you know God's word or you study God's word and you don't pray, you don't know God's word. You just hope you get that. You actually don't know God's word, because God's word is what we pray out in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's word teaches us to pray. So, and this is very vital. Because if you relegate the study of the word to the background and say you are praying, take note. Prayer is not exclusive to Christianity. Hope you know that. It's not exclusive to Christianity. The Muslims pray. In fact, they pray 7 times in a day. Amen? The Muslims pray. What is exclusive to Christianity is not your prayer. No. What is exclusive to Christianity is Christ's knowledge. Christ's knowledge, not your prayer. Christ's knowledge. So that means if Christ's knowledge is important, and Paul writes out, Paul's first focus was on knowledge, it therefore means my prayer and my doctrine must be the same. I should be able to teach doctrine for my prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, following me. Glory to God. So, he says his desire is to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, and he calls it what? Spiritual understanding. That he might walk worthy of the Lord. Watch it. Ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. He used that word fruitful there. But let's get back to verse 9. You see, not to pray for you that desire that ye might be filled. Watch that word filled. Filled with knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Filled. When you have the word to bring to pass. Might be filled to bring food to bring to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, bring to pass. So, and it's very vital. They might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, that is spiritual understanding. Maybe you see that what you preach, I mean, as a pastor, when you preach, you should pray. You see that? You don't pray and you don't teach God's word. You don't pray and you don't teach God's word. Those you are teaching don't know what you're praying about. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me. Amen. Amen. So, for example, we just finished a teaching on help, supernatural help, right? And I taught you what help is. Because that's how I pray for us. Now you are aware. You won't lose. I mean, when you see help, you'll be able to recognize it, right? You've been taught. So when you teach, you pray. I mean, when you teach, you pray. Hallelujah. You teach, you pray. You pray out God's word. That you've taught. So Paul writes out his prayer points for them. Prayer points, as we call it, prayer focus for them. So that they would know their will come to play. So as, I hope you are following me. Write it out in a teachable format. That they are willing to walk in the light of it. Look at what Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22. He said to him, he said, Peter, he said, Simon, says Satan desired to, what? To have you, that he may shift you as we say, but I prayed for you. Did you see that? Why did he have to tell Peter that? Because Peter needs to know. Amen. Mm-hmm. Peter needs to know. And when you are converted, he did what?
Strengthen your brethren.
So the moment after, the moment after he was done with that denial, his mind went back to what Jesus said. That was why he was repentant. Hallelujah. I believe because Jesus has prayed for him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because no matter how I pray for you, and you are not, and your will is not involved. You know your will is still, you still have to play a part. Your will is very vital in the prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So that means, like I said to us, God doesn't bypass our will, doesn't bypass our mind. What about everything? He doesn't bypass our mind. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 Therefore, am I saying that, what am I saying? I'm saying as a pastor, as a disciple, your praying for an ignorant man will not work. It sounds very strong, but that's the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If I pray for this household, everybody in this building, for them to be saved, and I don't get to them with God's word, is it working? How about everything? Your prayer for an ignorant man. Now let's come to ignorant man in God's word. Now, an ignorant believer who don't work if you don't get to him with the word. So that means as I pray, I get to him with the word. Hallelujah. I get the word out to the person immediately. 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 Sometimes you pray for people, you call them up. How are you? You're telling them, how are you? So you share along the same line of your prayer. Not trying to say, well, you can let us say, okay, I pray for you concerning this, but me, I don't do that. But I just pick up my phone and then we'll have a conversation. And the conversation will be based on what I'm praying for you concerning. Amen. I'll just talk about it. Not letting you know I'm praying for you, like, just talk about that you'll be aware. Then I continue praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I can tell you, why not pray like this, like this, like this? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So your prayer will work when you take the word to the person. So that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, right? Knowledge of his will, in all wisdom. You know what it calls wisdom now? It calls wisdom spiritual understanding. Now that word understanding is where you have the word sunyemi. Sunyemi. Sunyemi means it implies to put everything you are learning together. Did you see that? Amen. This is what it's praying for. And everything I'm teaching them. Everything I'm teaching, they will be able to comprehend it and see it together. That's what this prayer is for. Spiritual understanding, see you near me. To see them at one piece. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you find in Ephesians 3:4, Luke 24:45, 2 Timothy 2:7, 1 Corinthians 1:19. Hallelujah. It's an intelligence of putting together all your thoughts. So you pray. When you pray like that and you teach them, they'll be able to see. Do you hear that? When you pray like this and then you teach them, they'll be able to see together. Right? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The ability of your congregants or your disciples, those who listen to you, to be able to see what you are saying. It's not in the eloquence of how you put it. No. You pray first. Hallelujah. You pray and then you are bringing the word. That they will be able to see together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not saying being intelligent and putting out God's word is wrong. No, it's very vital. But the ability to see doesn't just lie in intelligence alone. Do you understand me?
is the power of God. And it's the power of God in your prayer. Hallelujah. Okay, hear me.
Yes, sir.
Man, I think we should just take 11 and 10 and 11 and
we'll take that, we'll continue from there.
Hallelujah.
We'll continue from there on Monday.
Now, glory to God. So, what does he call the knowledge of God's word? He calls the knowledge of God's word understanding of the Spirit. Did you see that? Spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. So that means you can relate together. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
So the knowledge of His will in all wisdom is spiritual understanding. So we can relate God's word together. So we can we say knowledge okay. We already know it. We can say this knowledge there is spiritual, right? Knowledge of the Spirit. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So verse 10. Now say that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto unpleasant, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So walk worthy. That word walk is the word peripatio. So, quickly, before we get to that, when he used the word knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, remember, he's talking about knowledge which is spiritual, right?
I was saying we are in the Spirit, right?
We are in the Spirit, where Christ is.
Therefore, what Paul will be communicating as the knowledge of God's word will be what we have within. Right? So I can put, the book of Colossians will be built on the Spirit within. The Spirit within and information of the Spirit within. Information that are found in the believer. Found in the Spirit. Amen. You find that. So when you use the word walk there,
walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You use the word walk, W-A-L-K, it's the word peripatio, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. Man is used here for your conduct. All the time Paul used that word, right, he uses it for a conduct, peripatio. It is for conduct. The only time Paul didn't use it is in, that was not even peripatio, it's a shade of it. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, is used for God. It's the word en peripatio. En peripatio is used for God. But that's not where we're going to go. All the while he used the word peripatio is used for conduct. Conduct. Walk worthy. Worthy is the word used for fitting. Walk fitting of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means, watch it, the walking around there will be concerning the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Huh? Around the things of the Spirit. Hope you're following me. Things of the Spirit. Walking will be concerning things of the Spirit. Now he uses another word, fruitful. But before we get to fruitful, now I say walk worthy of the Lord unto a place. Now that word, like I say, peripatio means to walk, right? To walk around, right? Walk around, and like I said, it's for conduct. So when you will find that phrase, walking worthy of the Lord, it will be used for the believers walking around the things of the Spirit, walking around the things of the Spirit, which in turn says being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good work. So being fruitful in every good work is the product of prayer. I'll put it like this.
prayer, hear what I say, prayer produces the fruit of salvation. Produces the fruit of salvation that helps the believer to walk in knowledge.
Produces the fruit of salvation that helps the believer to walk in knowledge. So, when a believer, when someone is ignorant, you don't just pray. You get the word out. In fact, get the word out first. Okay, you hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, where God is. So, did you see? Now, something I want to show you. Look at what Paul's prayer is around. Right? I think I should end here. Just look at what Paul's prayer is around. It's around knowledge that produces what? A walk. Conduct. Do you get that? So, it needs to a conduct.
Yes.
Right? Is a conduct that is inconsistent with the believer's nature. I'm going to say something about that before we go. Yeah, it is inconsistent with the believer's nature, or put it, that is inconsistent with the knowledge of God's word that they have received in the Spirit. Did you see that? Amen. Remember, what do we describe revelation as? Let me see who still remembers. We say revelations are informations available in the Spirit, in our spirit, that are available, that are now being set to our minds to comprehend. Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, what does prayer do? Prayer helps our minds to be able to receive those information when they are taught us. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
So now, Paul's prayer. Now, they've taken up a conduct, or there's a conduct that is meandering in the church, like I said, right? That has to do with mystery. Now, Paul now wants to deal with it. It's not a direct attack on it. No, he's going to use from the standpoint of what they have received. So he's going to get first to the information that they have in the Spirit, which who has declared to them? Epaphras has been declaring to them. Now, look at how he places that word. He places that word absolute, right? And is in the Spirit. So that he's praying for them to the end that as he begins to talk to them about it, they'll be able to what? Comprehend it. Comprehend it with their mind. It's where information in their spirit. Did you see that? So you don't pray for an ignorant man first. The first thing you do is to get the word out to the ignorant man. Did you see that? Did you see that? Okay, maybe that was too quick. No. Remove that word first. You don't pray for an ignorant man alone. I prefer to use it that way. Amen. Make sure you get the word out to the ignorant man also. This is very vital. Get the word out to the ignorant man. Get it out. Amen. So that is why when we pray for the unsaved, we are also, how we're getting the word out to them, how often do you put our ministry site online? Did you see that? How often? Because that's the word we're getting out to them. You're praying for your friends. How often? How many of your friends have you said, visit saintspavilionchurchng.com, listen to messages there? So what are you praying for? Amen. It therefore means you've not been effective in your prayer. Did you see that? You've not been what? Effective in your prayer. So what is the efficacy of your prayer? When I pray, I put the word out. Did you see that? I put it out. He said, you hope you're following me. You put it out. Your friends, your colleagues, tell them to listen. Just listen to this message. Listen to this message. You're putting it out. Hallelujah. 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 Hope you're hearing me. You're putting it out. Hear this. Listen to this one. Get to this life, get messages, listen to it, get blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, in essence, what I'm saying in essence is that you can have someone born again
and he's not producing the fruits of being born again. You can have someone who is born again and doesn't produce the fruit. Amen. What should I do? Pray. Put the word out. Did you see that? Amen. Pray. Put the word out. Put the word out. Hallelujah. Now, the fact that he doesn't bear the fruit doesn't mean he's not born again. In Colossians, we have people who are born again, but they are not bearing the fruit. They've gone into mistrust. They start doing something else. Does it mean that they are not born again? No. Amen. They are still born again, but they are not bearing the fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Therefore, as a Christian. As a Christian. I close here. So we'll start from verses. Okay. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. So we'll start from 11. That will be on Monday. And see if we can round up chapter 1 and pick a bit of chapter 2. My round up next week Saturday. So as a Christian, I can gauge my progress. I can gauge my progress. I should make progress. I can know when I'm making progress. And I must be intelligent in my prayers. Why are you praying? Is a question. Why are you praying? Why are you praying? Why are you praying? When you pray for people, ensure you get the word out to them. Ensure you get the word out to them. Why do you pray for believers? Why do you pray for believers? You have to know the intelligence of praying. When I said I was going to talk about this on Thursday, right? And I'll get to some things on prayer today. On Colossians, that is it. Amen. What is the intelligence of praying? On Thursday we saw it. That you don't pray for people to die. Hallelujah. It's not in God's will, it's not in God's word. God doesn't take pleasure in the death of a sinner. Hallelujah. So, there is a way to pray for believers. Scripture teaches us how to pray for believers. We'll look at that. It's part of what we'll get to look at this week into next week on Thursday and on Sunday. Amen. Scripture teaches us the intelligence of how to pray for believers. Pray. Hallelujah. And pray for believers. Most of first prayer for believers is for knowledge. How do you pray for pastors? How do you pray for pastors? The able to stretch out your hands, the virtue that has gone after him. All the virtue. Amen. Amen. How do you pray for believers? How do you pray for pastors? Scripture teaches us the intelligence of how to pray. Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Mm. How do you pray? And how we pray for believers doesn't change. You're a believer, we'll pray alike. We'll pray for believers. Amen. Pastor, we pray for pastors. Pray, and then how we should pray for unbelievers. We'll see all that. How to pray for unbelievers. How to get into prayer with you. How to pray for unbelievers. How to pray for countries and for places that the word of God hasn't gotten into. There's a way to pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
Your prayer ministry mustn't change. Shouldn't. Because sometimes I know we have people who are close to us. They are close to us. But you know, as long as, because they are believers, we must still pray for them alike. That they grow in the knowledge of God's word. Hallelujah. That the ministry of God's word prospers in their hands.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you pray.
When you pray. Stick to God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same way the gospel, that's what Paul is saying, and that's what Paul wants us to see. The same way the gospel is the same.
The same way the gospel is the same. Despite the nation, the country, the place, the people, prayer remains the same. Prayer intelligence remains the same. Hallelujah. Don't chicken out, don't tire out, keep praying. Hallelujah. Learn something? Learn something?
Ready for next week? From Monday. We'll take on from verse 12. Why I want to take off from verse 12? Because from verse 12 it begins to address some things. Right? I will situate from verse 12 as another paragraph on its own personally. So we'll take it off for Monday. And then let's see if we get into chapter 3.
Can get to chapter 2. Chapter 3 on Monday. But let's finish chapter 1. Chapter 1 is lengthy. So here we go.
Hallelujah. Because the whole, most of the work we have to do will be in chapter 1 into chapter 2. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Learn something? Let's just thank the Lord.